Vaishnavam Scha, Sri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raganatam, Vitam Tam Sarivam, Sarvaitam, Savadutam, Prajana Saitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita, Shiva Sakans Vitam Scha, Hey Krishna Karna Sindo, Dinabando Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchena Gorangi, Radhe Brindavaneshri, Prishubhanu Sutadevi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vanchakapa Trubhyascha, Kripa Sinubhyevacha, Patidanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shadvaiti Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, So I'm going to just read the translations. What was the last verse they read the other day? I guess it must have been 72. So I'll just read the English. In the second month, Dhruva Maharaj ate only every 6 days, and for his edibles, he took dry grass and leaves. Thus he continued his worship. In the third month, he drank water only every 9 days. Thus he remained completely entranced, and worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead was adored by selected verses. In the fourth month, Dhruva Maharaj became a complete master of the breathing exercise, and thus he inhaled air only every 12th day. In this way, he became completely fixed in his position and worshiped the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By the fifth month, Dhruva Maharaj, the son of the king, had controlled his breathing so perfectly that he was able to stand on only one leg, just as a column stands, without motion, and concentrate his mind fully on the Param Brahman. Text 77. Sarvato mana akrishnya Hridi bhutendriya shayam Dhyanan Bhagavato Rupam Nadrakshit Kinchana Param. Translation. He completely controlled his senses and their objects. In this way, he fixed his mind, without diversion to anything else, upon the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. The yoga principles of meditation are clearly explained here. One has to fix one's mind upon the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without diversion to any other objective. It is not that one can meditate or concentrate on an impersonal objective. To try to do so is simply a waste of time, for it is unnecessarily troublesome, as explained in the Bhagavad Gita. So this text again is, he completely controlled his senses and their objects, and in this way he fixed his mind without diversion to anything else, upon the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Bajarne Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatya De Sadharane. In this verse it refers to Bhagavad Gita 12:5. Klesho dikataras te sham, avyakta sakta chetasam, avyakta hi katera dukam, dehad vabhir avapyate. Those who try to meditate upon the impersonal Brahman, the result, it says in the verse, is simply troublesome. To make that progress in that particular discipline is not very easy for one who's embodied. There are different types of worship of the Supreme. One is called Saguna, and the other is called Nirguna. Saguna means possessing attributes or material attributes, and the other is Nirguna, without any material attributes. The impersonal Brahman realization is considered to be Nirguna, without attributes. And Saguna means with attributes. Therefore, Krishna has advented himself as the deity in order to provide an opportunity for those who are conditioned to be able to serve him, to be able to perceive him. Although it appears that the Supreme Lord has material attributes, but the deity is actually an incarnation of the Supreme Person, and as you put an iron into the fire, it becomes hotter and hotter and hotter, and it takes on all the properties that the fire has. Similarly, when the Supreme Lord appears within his energy, although to us we may think it's material, but actually it's spiritual. In the story of Sakshi Gopal, two Brahmins were conversing with each other. One elderly Brahmin, due to his appreciation of the service rendered by the younger Brahmin, promised the younger Brahmin his daughter in charity as a bride. The younger Brahmin objected that I am uneducated, I am poor, your family members will object to such a relationship. But still the elderly Brahmana, he was adamant that this younger Brahmin should accept his daughter as his wife, and therefore he said, yes, and whatever the obstacles are, I am determined to give you my daughter as your wife. The younger Brahmin, realizing that in the future there might be some problems, had the elder Brahmin promised before the Gopal deity that he would hand over his daughter in marriage to him. Making a vow before the Gopal deity, the younger Brahmin said, my dear Gopal, if in the future there's some problem, I'm going to ask you to come as a witness. Later on, after returning home, one day the elderly Brahmin called his relatives, his wife, his children, and he explained to them the situation, that on pilgrimage, this younger Brahmin, he was so kind to me, he provided me all kinds of services. In obligation to him, feeling obligation, I promised him our daughter in marriage. The family members certainly objected. The wife said, if this happens, I'll take poison and kill myself. The other family members exclaim that this is impossible. This will ruin our prestige, our standing in society. Therefore, they said, and under no circumstances can we give our daughter in charity to an uneducated poor Brahmin. But the elderly Brahmin, he objected, but seeing the obstacles put forward by his family, he prayed to Gopal for a solution. The younger Brahmin, or the elder Brahmin's son, said, don't worry, if the younger Brahmin comes, I'll handle it my own way. The younger Brahmin came and said, my dear Brahmin, you promised me your daughter in charity. What is happening now? What is the problem? And immediately the elder Brahmin's son appeared with a stick and chased him away, the younger Brahmin. The younger Brahmin went to the town and explained the situation. The town people came with the younger Brahmin asking for an explanation. The elder Brahmin did not say anything. The younger Brahmin said, son, the elder Brahmin's son said, how is it possible that my father could have promised an uneducated, poor Brahmin, his daughter in charity? That the fact is that this younger Brahmin gave my father some datura, a poison, it made him crazy, he stole all his money on the pilgrimage, and now he's coming to get his daughter too. All the townspeople became a little bit hesitant, thinking that it is possible due to greed, a person could do such a thing. But the younger Brahmin said, no, this is just a tactic by the younger by this elder Brahmin's son, because he doesn't want his daughter to be, his sister to be given in charity. And the elder Brahmin's not saying anything because he's afraid of the consequences to his family. So the elder Brahmin said, I can't exactly remember what happened. But the younger Brahmin said, my dear townspeople, that the fact is that the elder Brahmin and myself, we made a promise, we made a statement before the Gopal deity that if there's such a problem, that Gopal will come and act as a witness. The atheistic younger, older Brahmin's son thought, well, this is a good idea. Gopal, this deity, he'll never come here and act as a witness. The elder Brahmin thought it would be very good if Gopal comes here and acts as a witness, then I don't have to take the responsibility for the destruction of my family members. And all the townspeople thought this is a very good idea. So everyone thought this was a good idea. Let Gopal come as a witness, and he'll testify whether or not the elderly Brahmin made a promise before him to give his daughter in charity. The younger Brahmin went to the Vrindavan, where he told Gopal that, my dear Gopal, there's some difficulty. The elder Brahmin cannot give me his daughter as my wife. Therefore, I'm coming here requesting you to come back with me to act as a witness. So Gopal said, well, that's a little difficult. That better off I come as a four-armed Vishnu form, and I'll give my testimony in that form. But the younger Brahmin said to Gopal, my dear Gopal, that this is not possible. No one will believe you. Even you come as Vishnu, they won't believe you. They won't accept your testimony. You have to come in this form as Gopal. But Gopal said, my dear Brahmin, he said, I never heard of a deity walking. How can I walk all the way back there? Where you come from? I think it was Raymuna, someplace near there. So the younger Brahmin said, my dear Gopal, that you're a deity, that's certainly a fact, but I know that that you're directly the son of Nanda Maharaj. And after all, if a deity can talk, he can certainly walk. Gopal thought for a few minutes and thought, well, this makes sense, that if I'm talking to this Brahmin, then I can walk also. So Gopal agreed to accompany the Brahmin back to his hometown to act as a witness. And indeed, he did. He was following behind. Every day, this younger Brahmin would offer him some cooked rice, which Gopal would eat. And the only criteria was that the younger Brahmin could not turn around, because as soon as he turned around, then Gopal would stay there in that spot. Gopal was walking. The younger Brahmin was hearing the ankle bells, realizing that Gopal is accompanying him. He walked all the way back to his hometown. And right when he's on the outskirts, then the ankle bells stopped ringing. He turned around to see Gopal smiling. And Gopal said, just go to your village and call them all, and I'll stand here. I won't go back to Vrindavan. All the townspeople came. Everyone saw Gopal had come, had arrived. At that time, there was no DSL or something, whatever they... So they realized he must have walked there, because obviously the Brahmin didn't carry him. And it was all settled, and the younger Brahmin married the older Brahmin's daughter. This way we see that Krishna is not just a statue. For us, he may be a statue, but that depends upon our consciousness. That for those who want to see Krishna as a statue, because after all, if Krishna is not a statue, then their worldview will be disturbed. Therefore, Krishna appears as a statue. For those who want to see Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then Krishna appears as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Srila Prabhupada was installing Rukmini Dwarka Nath, the little deities, he was mentioning about, first he mentioned about Vamsi Das Babaji, who used to treat his deities in a paternal way. He'd chastise his deities sometimes. He'd even take them, if they're mischievous, and throw them into the lake, on a rope, of course, and then bring them out just to correct them. And then he said, just like Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami was hanging Madan Mohan within a tree. Sanatana Goswami had, in a dream, seen this Madan Mohan in the house of a brahmana. And the brahmana, he, after going to his house, gave Madan Mohan in charity to Sanatana Goswami. Because Madan Mohan had requested the brahmana, who also appeared within the Brahmin's dream, that you give me to let me go home with Sanatana Goswami. You have so many other children, he doesn't have anyone to look after him. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami took Madan Mohan, he placed him on the branch of a tree, and every day he'd offer him dry chapatis. In India, they take dough and they don't roll it. Sometimes they don't even roll it out. They just throw it into the fire and let it burn. That's called a roti. So he's offering him these rotis, which he had begged Madhukari once a day. Well, one day, Madan Mohan became very disturbed and he started to complain. He said, my dear Sanatana Goswami, he said that every day you're just offering me one dry roti. He said, can't you even get some salt for me? So Prabhupada mentioned that Sanatana Goswami said, my dear Madan Mohan, I'm an old man, I can hardly even move. That whatever I have, I'm offering you, kindly accept it. And also, Sanatana Goswami was thinking, now I'm going to give him some salt, next he's going to ask for some sweets, what can I do? Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada said that Madan Mohan, he had to accept because the bhakta was offering. And Prabhupada went on to explain, but what is your value and what is the value of the things that you have? That the real thing is bhakti. That Krishna, kindly accept that I have no qualification, I'm rotten and I'm fallen. And then Prabhupada started to cry, but I brought this to you. That will be accepted. Don't be puffed up. Always remembering that you're dealing with Krishna. That is my advice to you. Thank you. The idea is that although we think that we are this body or that in relationship to this body we have so many different things, but the actual fact is neither we're the body nor we're the controller or the owner of the body. We're simply in the body. And Krishna, through his material energy, is making different arrangements to fulfill our desires. Since presently we desire to be separate from Krishna, to engage in the service of the senses and the materialistic mind, under a materialistic conception, therefore Krishna has so kindly given us this opportunity to serve in the material world, but that is not very auspicious. Therefore, one should understand what is the actual auspicious objective in life. Here it mentions to get out of the material world in itself is not very auspicious. It is more auspicious than trying to stay in the material world and take one body after another. That is completely inauspicious. To suffer one life after another is simply a waste of time. Although it as William Shakespeare said, this world is full of sound and fury, but actually signifies nothing. In other words, the material existence for the soul is just a complete waste of time. Simply doing punak punas charvata charvadana, simply chewing the chewed life after life with actually no positive activity going on. But when one takes to the devotional service of Krishna, then at once whatever one is able to do in that service to Krishna becomes one's eternal benefit. Dhyaktvasu dharma charanam bhujam harer bhajana patvo tat patetito yadi yatra kva bhadrama bhuda mushakim kavarta apto bhajatam sadharma taha. that duties executed by men are so much useless labor if they're not actually meant to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if they're perfectly performed. In other words, even when we become very expert in the material world, there's no value to that expertise. The expertise will simply give us an opportunity to come back and become more expert in some future life. But even if one is not able to do anything significant, but as Krishna says, patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta priyachati taraham bhakti paritam ashnami priyatatmanaha. Even by offering a leaf, a flower, some fruit, some water to Krishna with bhakti, then Krishna accepts it, and our relationship to Krishna with Krishna is developed. Developing our relationship to Krishna is actually progress. Developing our relationship with the material world is simply going nowhere. Although getting out of the material world is certainly auspicious compared to being in the material world, but even that, yanyaya vrindaksha vimuktamani nastva dyasta bhavara bhushuda bhuraya, aruya kritschena param param dharha pashantyana nadrita yushmarangraha. We can go up and realize that we're not the body, but it gets very boring after a while. To merge in Brahman, certainly there's no anxiety when we realize we're eternal, but there's nothing positive happening. Because there's nothing positive in our life, therefore we get bored and we'll look around. And the only thing we'll see is back to the material world. So back to L.A., back again, trying one more time. Therefore, it's the only really auspicious path in this age, because sometimes one may rise up to Brahman realization, and then from there, by good fortune, such as the Kumaras or Shukadeva Goswami, come in contact with a pure devotee or Lord Krishna himself, and therefore go beyond the impersonal Brahman. But in this age, neither people who obtain the impersonal Brahman nor by the indirect path will they necessarily come to understand Krishna. Therefore, the only auspicious path recommended in this age is to take directly to the devotional service of Krishna, especially by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and avoiding the offenses. The whole offenses deal with inattentiveness, especially. In other words, we become inattentive because we think that there's something more important than to become Krishna conscious. We have so many other things to do other than go back to the spiritual world. I remember watching one movie on Tarukram, I think it was, in South India. There was one great devotee named Tarukram. Is that his name? Tukaram. And in the movie, I don't know if it's a factual movie, but his wife was not very, she was a devotee, but she was not very devotional. Therefore, Tukaram, he was constantly engaged in glorifying Krishna, not interested in economic development. His wife was always complaining, why don't you get a job, do something significant. But he was such a great devotee that at the end of his life, a spiritual Vaikuntha airplane came to take him back to the spiritual world. But his wife was busily doing her household duties, and when Tukaram came to get her so they can go back to the spiritual world together, she said, I'm sorry, I have a lot of things to do around the house. I can't go now. So we may pity such a foolish lady. She had the opportunity to go back to the spiritual world along with her husband, but she thought she had something more important to do. Well, she's not the only one who thinks like that. The process of devotional service means to convince us that we have nothing better to do than to fix our mind upon Krishna through the process of devotion. To do that, we have to give up our false ego. We have to become humble. We have to give up this competitive attitude that I'm going to become something significant in the material world. Besides just the endless struggle to gratify the senses in terms of eating, sleeping, mating, defending, even if we're able to accomplish that, then we want profit, adoration, distinction. There's no end to the material duties, the material desires that we can acquire. And because those material desires, those material activities, therefore we take one body after another. Sometimes we may progress, come to become a demigod, and be able to fulfill our desire to have a prestigious situation in the material world. And sometimes we may become an insignificant ant. We try to become the king of the ant colony, or a queen. In any case, the struggle for existence can only be ended when we understand correctly our relationship with Krishna, and by the process of devotional service, beginning with regulated sadhana bhakti, try to learn how to chant Hare Krishna with humility and attention, and learn how to cry out to Krishna so that Krishna becomes pleased upon us, so that he reveals himself, and that we're able to remember him throughout the day, constantly, 24 hours. Krishna has given us the formula, Chaitasya sarva karmani mayi sanyasi matparaha buddhi yogam upashitya matshita ksatatam bhava. And all activities just depend upon me, work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. So it doesn't require that we become great personalities, as Srila Prabhupada once said. Don't try to become a great devotee, just try to become a devotee. It is not that we have to become a great personality, expert in so many different things. Simply, we have to recognize that everything here belongs to Krishna. And we have to become a matparaha devotee of Krishna. That is, one who thinks that I have no activity, engagement, save and except to act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. And that while working in such a way, one should think of Krishna only. That I've been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna, and I'm doing it just to please him. Then Prabhupada said that one will naturally think of Krishna in such an attitude. And that is perfect Krishna consciousness. Not that one first does something whimsically, and then if he doesn't like the result, he offers it to Krishna. I have a blind cow, don't know what to do with it. Why don't you give it to the deity? See what he can do with it. No, one should first find out, through Krishna's representatives, coming down to the simple succession. So, if one gets a bona fide representative of Krishna and acts according to his instructions, then one's success in life and in Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. So the goal is to become Krishna conscious. The goal is not to become famous, rich, wealthy, or anything else. It's somehow or another come to the platform in the mood of devotion to remember Krishna, and then our life will become perfect. That's open to everyone in any circumstance. So if we're fortunate, we have the right association, we get Krishna's mercy, we'll appreciate it and understand it, and we'll act in such ways to develop our awareness of Krishna and perfect our lives. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. How do we give up the fear of giving these things up? I don't know. Well, if you give them up, then you'll have to see if there's any pain that comes along with giving it up. It's quite a bit of pain with trying to get them or maintain them. As far as giving them up, it's probably Maya just tells us, if you give it up, you'll be in great pain. But if you give them up, you won't even realize what you gave up. How can there be any pain by giving those things up? There's only pain by trying to get them. Besides that, giving them up means to get out of the bodily concept of life, and hopefully we give them up because we're trying to come to the Krishna conscious conception of life. If we give them up factually in consciousness of Krishna, and we become in the mood of humble devotion to Krishna, then we'll be in ecstasy. And in ecstasy, there is no pain, material pain. There's only transcendental pleasure. And besides that, Krishna says that everyone else who gave them up, they were always in ecstasy. So I'm sure if we gave them up, we won't be the first person in pain. Is that all right? Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.